If you want to make God laugh, the saying goes, tell God your plans. Now, I don't know who first said this, but based on the scripture for today, it could have been Mary, or Elizabeth, or the shepherds, or the wise men. Almost anybody in the Christmas story might have said that phrase, because everybody had their plans altered when they agreed to join God and the Holy Spirit to guide them on their journey. But no one more than Mary. Now a lot has happened since our last week's sermon. We spent the whole fall basically in the Old Testament. And our last week sermon from Isaiah was sort of the last of the Old Testament readings. And now with today, we move into the New Testament with this story of Mary and Elizabeth. And a lot has happened. So empires have risen and fallen, centuries have come and gone. But Israel remains much the same as it was, a tiny, fairly insignificant player on the world stage among heavy-hitting empires, still not really totally in control of its own fortunes and fates. And in this little place, this tiny little area of the world where people are getting up every morning and going about their routines much as they did for centuries, the angel comes to Mary. And as I looked at the text for today, I was actually kind of surprised by the verses that were signed to us today. I mean, sure, this story of the angel coming to Mary, that's a pretty common Advent story. No surprise there. And the part then to follow about Elizabeth, that sort of makes sense. Although, you know, the story of Elizabeth, if you really want that, you might start earlier and then go on to the birth of her child, John. Or you might include that story in a part about this big song that Mary sings that we know as the Magnificat. And we get the first, like, couple of verses of that. But it goes on for a lot longer, so why stop in the middle or even when you've barely started that? Doesn't it deserve its own Sunday? I mean, that's what usually happens in Advent. So why start where the verses start and include what they include and then end where they end? And as I asked myself that question, it occurred to me that there are words at the beginning and words at the end of this section that by beginning here and ending here, it calls to mind. And those are the words that God has favored Mary. And those are the first words that the angel says to Mary, greets her, favored one. And it is that greeting that we are told causes her to be perplexed. I mean, the scripture bothers to tell us that she is perplexed. I mean, sure, she's perplexed because an angel just showed up, but I think also being perplexed, this young woman in this out-of-the-way place, in this unimportant part of the world for that day and time, is called favored. And so she pauses to try and sort of figure that out. In many ways, her story is the same story that many of our Old Testament figures have when they encounter the holy. She has this encounter with the divine. She is perplexed. And then she asks some skeptical questions. She may even name an obstacle. And then she receives assurance. And then she gives her consent. and moves forward on the journey with the Holy Spirit in the direction that it calls her to go. Think Abram and Sarah, think Moses, think Jeremiah. It's a story we've heard over and over again. And just 2 weeks ago, in our Old Testament reading, we heard the prophet Joel prophesy that the Holy Spirit soon would come upon men and women, young and old. And today, we see that enacted. It comes on a young woman, Mary, and it comes on an old woman, Elizabeth. I love that the angel told Mary about Elizabeth. It's like an invitation to her to have a companion on the journey, as Christy talked about with the children. And that's what she does. That's how she responds after this encounter. She goes to be with this companion, this older family member, this person who will have much to teach her, to mentor her. And even though they're both going through something for the first time together, still, Elizabeth has lived a lot of life, a lot more than Mary has. And she can learn from her. And speaking of these stories of the Old Testament, Elizabeth's story recalls a lot of stories from the Old Testament. Women who have longed for a child, who are perhaps older and have not had that blessing. Think Sarah, think Hannah. But Mary provides a twist on that story. She is not an older woman who's longed for a child. She is a young woman who probably doesn't really want a child at this moment. I mean, she just wants an ordinary life. Small town girl, gonna get married, maybe down the road, have a family. This is a surprise to her. It's a twist on the old story. And it twists a lot of things about Mary's plans. And yet she gives her consent. This story that has so much in common with and yet is a twist on the Old Testament stories has much, I think, to teach us. Mary has much, I think, to teach us. One commentator writes about Mary. He says, too frequently we ignore or minimize her, making her a porcelain figure in our creche, fragile, breakable, and boxed away most of the year. When we do pull her out, we do not actually interact with her. Yes, she helps us feel nostalgic, but in the end, changes nothing. Although there is a renewed interest among Protestants in the biblical Mary, many faith communities are reluctant to invite their constituents to wrestle with her. After all, were we to truly interact with her, we would have to change. We would have no choice but to change how we live and how we understand our faith. When we intentionally consider the biblical Mary, our excuses will not work. If God used Mary, then we are not too young. If God used Elizabeth, then we are not too old. Being from a cultural capital or academic center is not a prerequisite in God's calculus either. If God brought something good out of Nazareth, then God's word can be born anew in the least likely places still. Have you ever been to Nazareth? God has always chosen the most humble vessels from the most humble places to give birth to his word. Mary had no rights, no power, and yet, no, our excuses will not work. If Mary's story, in many ways, her call mirrors the call of many of our Old Testament heroes. Then we are forced to ask, does that call still continue today? Does God still call people to give birth to something new? Does God still embody God's self in our world today in mysterious ways? There's an old legend that Mary was not the first person to be approached by the angel, but that she was the first to give her consent. Now, we don't know if this is a true legend or not. Our Bible mostly tells us the stories of people who say yes to God, not those who say no. But if our God loves us so much, favors us so much, that God allows us to give our own consent rather than coerces us into joining God's work in the world, then surely there are stories of those who do not give consent, then and now. Does God still favor us? Does God still bless us? It is much the same to be favored and to be blessed. And when Mary goes to Elizabeth, Elizabeth, in her short speech, uses the word blessed three times. Mary is blessed. And it is only after Elizabeth speaks these words of blessing to Mary, sort of confirming what the angel has already told Mary, that she is truly able to claim that she is favored by God. It's a hard thing to claim, and yet our God does favor us, love us, invite us to be with God. It may not look the same for all of us. Yes, it may even seem presumptuous for us to say that we too are favored like Mary. Yes, Mary had a unique role that is not our role. But God invites each of us because God loves and favors us. Sometimes we are invited to do hard things, but sometimes the things we are invited to do bring great joy to us. And for that matter, why do we think that being invited to join in God's work has to do with doing? That's a very Western frame for that, that somehow it's all about activity and accomplishment, when really most of God's work is implanting something within us. Most of God's work invites us to help embody the word in large and in small ways. Yes, the answer is yes. God does still speak into our world, still invite us on the journey, still give us companions or make us companions, mentors and mentees to one another along the way. And yes, God does still favor us, each of us, everyone, because that is who we are. When I titled this sermon, Finding Favor, and I began diving deeper into the sermon, I almost went back and changed the title because finding favor makes it sound like it's something we have to seek or earn. But that's not it at all. The favor exists just in being created by God the way we are exactly. Finding favor is finding the gift that God has given us. And that's what Mary did when she gave her consent. She accepted that gift. And in so doing, could be a gift to others. Yes. God has favored you. Seriously, you. I mean, you.